April 16th, 1993. I'm interviewing my grandfather, E.K. Bowers. And we're going to start off with like a basic question. What year was you born? Birthday.
I was born on December 28th, 1914, down in Sinclair County. And when I was 4 years old, I moved to Blount County.
Moved to Blount County.
And when I was 14 years old, I moved to Marshall County.
Okay.
And when I was 21 years old, I got married on January the 1st, 1936. To Grethel Bowers, that's your grandma.
That's my grandmother.
And 6 months later, we left Sand Mountain, that's where we live in, and went to Gadsden and went to work for the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in Gadsden on July 2nd, 1936. And I worked at Goodyear from July 1936 till January 1st, 1969. And during that time, I was president of the union 21 years. I inspected passenger tires, final inspection the other times. And while I was in there, I saw company thugs and hired thugs beat up union men, run them out, and just barely escaped myself. But I stayed there through the building of the union. I'm a charter member of the union, charter member of the credit union, helped build it all. And as a result of all that work, we've got pensions and insurance and prescription drugs and dignity and a lot of things like that. Now, what else do you want?
Okay. All right, we'll go back. Right, how big was the family that you were born into?
I had two brothers and four sisters. And so there's seven of us.
Seven of you. Okay. And you was the youngest, right?
I was the baby.
The baby.
And to hear your grandma tell it, I'm still the baby.
He's still the baby.
Yeah.
So you was on a... You grew up on a farm.
Right. Right.
And how big was this farm that you was on?
We were on three different farms. We was on rental property. We rented what we call two-horse crops. We were... Fairview till 1928, just before the Depression. And my daddy bought a farm the year of the Depression. And the stock market fell and the price fell out of cotton and we never could even make a payment on the place. So they foreclosed the place. My daddy promised $2,700 for 170 acres of land on Sand Mountain. And he couldn't make a payment. So they foreclosed and sold it to public auction. And a friend of your grandfather's, my father, borrowed money from the Federal Land Bank and bought this place back in at auction for $1,100. So actually, instead of losing money, this friend of ours bought it for $1,100 and let us have it back. So we got it back for $1,100 instead of the $2,700. And we kept it on from on then till after the Depression.
After the Depression. What kind of, with seven children in the family, what kind of jobs did it, was it evenly distributed among most of your brother and sister?
I had two brothers older than me. They were, the youngest brother was 5 years older than me. And all my sisters was older than me. My mother and my daddy was disabled and unable to work on the farm. So the older brothers made the crops as far as plowing and all that was concerned. And my sisters helped pick cotton and pick peas and things like that till I was 14 years old. And when I was 14 years old, both my brothers left home and I was left home to try to make a living for a disabled mother and daddy and a couple of sisters. So then I was too small to lay off rows with a mule and a plow, so I swapped work with my neighbors, and they'd lay the rows off, and I'd put in the fertilizer, and then that way we could get it all done. And I did all the plowing then.
You did the plowing then?
Yeah.
So that's when you dropped out of school, right? When you were in seventh.
I dropped out of school while I was in seventh grade, because at that time an accredited school, you had to go 7 months or you couldn't get credit.
Yeah.
And you couldn't farm and go to school 7 months. Or you could farm about five, you could go to school about 5 months. So I stayed in the same grade 3 years because I couldn't go to school long enough to finish. And then just as the Depression started, one of my brothers, J.B., came back home to work a year. And we took it time to battle. And back in those days, we held baseball games on Saturday afternoons that ran at the schools and the pastors and things like that. So we'd take it Saturday afternoon about. One of us would work this Saturday afternoon and the other would go to the ball game. Well, I didn't have any shoes, but my brother did have a pair of Sunday shoes. So he wanted off on his work day for me to go to a ball game.
Yeah.
So to get me to work in his place and let him go to the ball game, he gave me a half interest in his shoes. So when he went and wore shoes, I stayed home. And when I went and wore shoes, he stayed home. And that's how poor we were during the Depression.
That's what I was fixing to ask. Before, you were born in 14, so you were a teenager before the Depression hit, right before.
Right.
Were you old enough to tell the difference between ever changes in, you know, prices and stuff before and after?
That's right, because see, when the Depression hit, I was 14 years old. And not only that, but I had the responsibility of trying to make a living at 14. So that was rather young, but I was old enough that I knew what was going on and knew what my responsibilities were.
So it changed, the Depression, it did people, I mean, in the South, was they, did it, they blame it on Hoover more than anybody, or?
Hoover. Yeah, they didn't only blame it on Hoover.
Yeah,
it was Hoover and the Republican Party. And what they do today is just about as bad as it was then. It's just people here won't recognize it. They're still the rich man's friend. And back then, now, it's sometimes not quite understood, but there was money then, back in the Depression. It was an asset. But in those days, they called them frozen assets because a few people had all the money. Just a few people had all the money, and you couldn't get it. And they called it, they referred to it then as a frozen asset. Well, they had money then, same as we got money now.
Yeah.
But the distribution system broke down. And only when Franklin Roosevelt was elected did he support legislation that redistributed the national wealth. And that's the way we came out of the Depression.
Yeah, I was going to ask about FDR and about how the him being people my age didn't know him.
Right.
What we read about in books is how he was a Southern gentleman and how he worked for the common good of the people, not just the wealthy people as before, as in the 20s and 30s.
Well, back prior to his day, labor unions were all outlaws. If you joined the union, you were an outlaw. The companies, that's the way companies raised you. They trained you. If you was an employee and belonged to a union, you was a traitor to that company. But when Franklin Roosevelt got elected, one of his famous statements was, if I worked in a factory, the first thing I'd do would be join a union. Now that's a quote from FDR. And then in 1935 they passed what they called the Wagner Act. And the Wagner Act was the first legal document that legalized people's right to join a union, and they had the government protection if they were mistreated because of it. That started in 35.
And another thing with FDR, all these New Deal programs he started, like around here, it was, I guess, the closest thing to us was the TVA. And he, you know, I mean, did people move from around here to get jobs with his programs?
Yeah, well, TVA was really a progressive project that was built for national defense and national convenience. The what they call a stimulus package, what Clinton's calling a stimulus package now, that is your infrastructure, your roads and bridges, and they call one of them was I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it was a really a public works project. They'd pay you to go out here and work on the road.
Yeah.
To clear up ditch banks and things like that, just anything to improve the community, the government would pay you to do it. But that was more or less, you might say that was kind of like a relief program.
Yeah.
But they established camps, CCC camps.
That's what I was speaking to about, where they sent the kids to.
Yeah, the young men went off to these CCC camps and did forestry work and things like that. Things that was good for the nation, but that they had never been able to get any money for doing. And so they, those were the type programs that he put in temporarily. You see, the TVA thing is a permanent thing. It's still in operation today, still being misused sometimes, but it was a different type of program to the CC camps and the things of that kind. And I worked 3 days on that program, on that public program. I was 14 years old, and I beat Sandrock with a sledgehammer 10 hours for a dollar. And it was 11 hours. They'd take out an hour for lunch. But you'd work 10 hours for a dollar. That's 10 cents an hour for beating up Sandrock on these public works programs, working the road where you could get over them. Not where you get over them in the Cadillac, where you could get over with a mule and wagon. That was in, of course, the early 30s.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, get on up to FDR and before the war, and how things changed, how the economy changed, how it was before the war and how it was after the war, and during, how the jobs that the war created and things around here, maybe.
Well,
how it went on to work.
Before the war started, and in the middle of the Depression, working on the farm. The cheapest I remember working was for, I worked all day for 1 gallon of syrup. And if I'd have had the money, I could have bought the syrup for 40 cents. So I worked all day for 40 cents. I worked lots of days on the farm for a dollar. You know, later, even after I got back. And when I came to Goodyear and went to work in 1936, that was the beginning of the end of the Depression. I went to work for 32 cents an hour at Goodyear. And then it wasn't, of course, that was 36. It was what, 40, wasn't it, when the war started?
The U.S. didn't get in until 41. The war started in the last of 39.
Yeah. All right. Well, now, when the war started, then they come along with wage and hour controls and things like that that they hadn't had before. And you couldn't get but so much wage increase and so on. But by the time the War Labor Board started establishing the maximum that you could negotiate, our average wage at Goodyear, that was in 41, as I recall, was 73 cents an hour.
That was in 1941,
I believe. But we didn't organize our union. We didn't get our union until 1943. The company and the company thugs kept us beat up and run out till we didn't actually get a local union reestablished until 1943. It was established first. Local 12 was established first in 1935. And the company thugs tore it up and run the people off and run them away from the plant. and we didn't get reorganized in 1943. Then we negotiated a deal after we got a contract to bring 59 of those people back to work. And a lot of them came back to work with their seniority and everything that they had at the time they got run off.